When you fight like a man of God, sometimes you're going to have to throw a punch. Sometimes you're going to have to throw a punch. Sometimes you're going to have to stand up for what you believe in. Sometimes you're going to have to stand up for somebody that's been marginalized. Sometimes you're going to have to stand up for somebody that someone else is being critical of. There's nothing that burns me more than to hear that someone came to me and said, "Did you know that such and such said this about such and such?" And I will say, "Well, what did you say to them?" And they say, "I said nothing." So all you're doing now is gossiping. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. For those of you who got the memo and you wore a white shirt today, you are a warrior. I want you to know you are a warrior. We're going to be talking about warriors today. And when you think of warriors, you've got something in mind, don't you? Turn to the next slide. This is one of the warriors that I thought of when Joel and I were putting some slides together. You know, this Viking kind of guy. That doesn't look like me at all, does it? Let's see the next guy that we got as a warrior. Now, this looks a little more like me. Little Bruce Lee going through the air, showing how what's going on. And go to the next slide. That's my son, Tyler. He is a warrior, right? Amen? And next slide. This is John Shackelford. He's a warrior. He's down in the Dominican Republic right now, He's getting ready for the Magi boxes, and he is a warrior. Anybody that can ride a donkey is a warrior in my book. And don't confuse the two donkeys there in the picture. He's not here today, so he cannot defend himself. Next slide, please. This is actually from the movie Warriors. I haven't seen it, but it came up in the things. Next slide, please. Now, this is my kind of warrior. Down and dirty, in the water, guns a-blazing. Next slide. And here's a warrior. This is our very own Lance Baker, who is a warrior every day. And a lot of y'all have seen this lately. Next slide. This is Top Gun. I remember when we started wearing masks, and all the men would take their mask off and let it hang from one ear because they thought they were Top Gun. But I'm here to tell you, you're not Top Gun unless you've got these. And I'm bringing up four of my warriors, junior warriors, right now. Come forward, guys. Right up front here, in front and center. These guys, for every man in the church, they want you to be a warrior like them, and so they're going to be passing out the glasses to everybody. All warriors, get one. Give them out, guys. You know, these are actually really helpful with those lights up there. So they're passing out all of these sunglasses. If you get missed, we'll put them in the back so everybody can get one. We want all the men of the congregation to get a pair of aviator sunglasses. Take the sticker off of it. Hand the trash to the woman sitting next to you because they're the only ones. No, you can't put it back. You've got to keep it. That's your job today. So you keep the trash, take the sticker off, give the trash and all to the woman sitting closest to you. Because this is Dad's Day, this is Warrior Day. Warriors need help. And you're going to put on those sunglasses. All the men, after you get them, let's put them on. Men, get your sunglasses on for me. I have got... Come on, men, let's get them on quickly. Quickly. All of you, get them on. Everybody got them on. Some of you don't know how to put on sunglasses. You're not much of a warrior. All right, church. Everybody look this way. Everybody smile. All right, good job. He said he's got on his white shirt. He showed me a picture of him in his white shirt. So, Larry, I got to send you a pair of sunglasses. I'll make sure you get some. But here's the thing. We are warriors. When you look at the scripture that was read just a few moments ago, I read that when I was a child. And I had this picture of Jesus that's not biblical. You see, a lot of us have pictures of Jesus that is just not biblical anymore. The world has sissified Jesus Christ. And Jesus is anything but a sissy. Every picture we see of him in today's world, unless it's the crucifixion, somebody being gentle. But this story that I read when I was a kid, I was just thinking that what happened was is these people were furious with the way Jesus were teaching him. And then they took him to a cliff and they threw him over. And something supernatural happened so that he could walk through the crowd. And that's the way I always envisioned that story. But as I was reading it closely, I realized there is nothing in there that says miraculously. It says, but he walked right through the crowds and went on his way. Have you ever seen anybody do that? I remember when I was going to one of the Bucks games, and I got there early, and I was walking through the parking lot of the stadium, and I saw this guy, and it was Hulk Hogan. And he had on platform shoes, which is cheating in my opinion. But it made him look 9 feet tall, and he was walking. I think Jesus gave them a look. He gave them a look. And they moved out of his way because Jesus was a warrior. And your very first point here this morning is it's important for men to know that God created you with a warrior heart, or with a heart of a warrior. God created you with a heart of a warrior. I want you to know that. You don't have to apologize for that. You do not have to apologize for being a warrior. In today's society, they've tried to take away our masculinity. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 25 and 26 and 27, it says that we are made in the image of God. And look at what God says about himself in Exodus 15 and verse 3. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And then you can go on to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. It says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to this earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You see, everything that we're taught in today's society is that you should not fight. You don't have to stand up for yourself. Everybody should live at peace. Well, I am telling you, we are at war, men. We are at war with the world and the culture that is here today. And we as men, God gave us a warrior's heart to stand up against that. And we don't need to apologize for it. Several years ago, I read a book that just transformed me. I was a teenager when I read it, and I have yet to find another copy of it. And it is a book was called A Man of Velvet and A Man of Steel. And I believe that what we need to do is we need to know when to be gentle and we need to know when to be strong. And that book was significant to me when I read it as a teenager, because there are times when we have to fight. There are times when we have to be gentle. But I know we were created in the image of God. God created us in his image, and his image is one of a warrior. Look at what Revelation chapter 19 and 11 through 36 says. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. This is a description of Jesus, by the way. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him. No one knows it but him, he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven are following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth come a sharp sword which strikes down the nations. He will rule over them with an iron scepter. He treads on the winepresses of fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I remember my son bringing this passage to me when he was a teenager, and he says, "Look, Dad, I've got proof that tattoos are okay." He says, "Jesus has got King of Kings, Lord of Lords on his thigh." And I looked at him and I said, "Son, when you can be like Jesus, you can get a tattoo. Or you can move out and get one. I don't care either way." But here's my point to you. God created us men to be warriors. And if we don't recognize that, we're missing out what God created us to be. You see, my next point here is we need a hero. We need a hero. This world needs a hero. We have so many zeros out there that it's time for us as men to stand up and be heroes. And a lot of us don't even know how to do that. But look at what it says right here in Exodus chapter 32, or 22 and verse 30. "I looked for a man among them." This is God talking. He says, "I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none." I see so many people complaining about what's going on in the world today. I see men talking about how bad things are. I see people talking about, well, the culture is taking us down this road. I've heard people say this country isn't much longer because of the direction we're taking, and I couldn't agree with them more. But I am here to tell you that God is looking for a man to stand in the gap so he does not have to destroy this country. And if we as men are not willing to stand in the gap, you know what's going to happen next. But I want you to see this point number three. Is every warrior needs a cause. Every warrior needs a cause. If you don't have a cause, you'll just be fighting. I know people that just like to fight. I know people that are looking for a fight. And I know people that just drive down the road and they're just egging somebody to fight with them. I know people that go into restaurants and they're looking for a reason to fight because they didn't get what they thought they should get. But we need heroes, and we need a cause. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. "After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them." How many of us as Christians are afraid of what's going on in the government? We're afraid of what we're hearing in the news. We're afraid of what's happening in our schools. We're afraid of what's happening to our children. It says to us, the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. The next time you get afraid about what's going on in the world, the next time you get afraid about who's been elected or who didn't get elected or what law has been passed, you need to remember, do not be afraid, for the Lord is great and awesome. And then he says, because warriors need a cause, fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, and your wives, and your homes. Every warrior needs a cause. Every man in here needs to fight for his brothers, for his sons, for his daughters, for his wives, and for his home. Men, it is so easy to be passive in this fight and act like it's going to be okay because it's been okay last week. But it is time that we as men, we start fighting for what is right, for what is good, for what is godly, and we need to do it in a godly way. Number four, warriors without a cause will fight against the wrong things. Warriors without a cause will fight against the wrong things. I told you God put a warrior spirit in you. And there's sometimes when we fight each other instead of fighting the world. There's sometimes we fight against things that we don't even need to fight against. And the one that I hear all the time from people, well, that's my right. And I'm here to tell you, as a Christian, you gave up your rights when you were buried with Christ in baptism. And you buried all of those rights with Christ so that you could walk a new life and serve Him. And if He takes away your right to get a hot meal, then He takes away your right to get a hot meal. If He takes away something from you that you feel like is your right, you just grin and bear it because you need to fight for the right things. Look at what it says about Paul, his name is Saul here, but he became Paul later. It said, but Saul began to destroy the church. Underline those words. Saul began to destroy the church. And it says, going from home or from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. And I look at this verse, and it's a very literal verse of what Saul was doing. He was going out and he was dragging men and women and he was putting them in prison. And I'm here to tell you that we have men in the church that are not doing this literally, but because we don't know what's right, we tend to criticize what's going on in the church, and we go from house to house, and instead of building up the body of the Lord, and instead of doing what we can do to help the work of the church, we go from house to house, and we put the church in prison. Because we are not fighting for the right things. When you fight like a man of God, sometimes you're going to have to throw a punch. Sometimes you're going to have to throw a punch. Sometimes you're going to have to stand up for what you believe in. Sometimes you're going to have to stand up for somebody that's been marginalized. Sometimes you're going to have to stand up for somebody that someone else is being critical of. There's nothing that burns me more than to hear that someone came to me and said, did you know that such and such said this about such and such? And I will say, well, what did you say to them? And they say, I said nothing. So all you're doing now is gossiping. There's nothing that irritates me more than when we do not defend our brothers and sisters or try to bring peace and harmony to this church. I'm going to tell you about throwing a punch. 9 times out of 10, you need to throw a punch when other people are getting hurt. When other people are getting maligned. Not when somebody's maligning you. It's real easy to throw that punch when somebody's maligning you. But righteousness, righteous indignation, as they've called it for all these years, only comes when you come after those who are hurting or maligning others. Look at what's going on in this passage of Scripture in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at the tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove them from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. A lot of times we look at this and we say, well, you know, these guys, they were trying to make money, and Jesus is against them doing that in the temple courts. That's not what this was about. If you understand the history of the Temple of Jerusalem, there was a place called the Court of Gentiles. That's where the money changers would go and set up. And Jesus went into this Court of Gentiles. And the Gentiles were there, and they came there to worship. And they had a right to be there. If you weren't Jewish, you couldn't go past a certain point without being executed. But they made the Court of the Gentiles, so if the Gentiles wanted to come and worship God, they could come to this court and they could be there. And Jesus came in and he saw that the Gentiles could not get in to worship. And so he turned over the tables and he ran everybody out. And he says later on in that verse, this is a place of worship and you've turned it into a den of thieves. Jesus wasn't acting on his behalf. He was acting on the behalf of others. And if you're going to be a warrior, if you're going to fight like a man of God, not only do you need to take a punch or to throw a punch, but you need to be able to take a punch. There have been times in my life where I have had to grit my teeth and bear it. I hate doing that, don't you? There's been times in my life where I wanted to give somebody a good piece of my mind. And as Nancy says, you shouldn't do that. You don't have enough to give away. There's been times in my life that I wanted vengeance for something that someone has done to me. And I'm here to tell you, as a man of God, you cannot take vengeance. You must take that punch sometimes. One of the things that you've got to remember as a man of God living in this world, in the corruptions of this world, in the brokenness of this world, is there's going to be times where you have to take a punch. And we have an example of that in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, talking about what Jesus did for us. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our impurities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. I'm here to tell you, men, sometimes you have to sacrifice. Lee did a great job this morning, and I hope you heard what he said, but one of the things that he talked about as far as being a good father was being willing to sacrifice. I learned that from my mom and dad, not just my dad, but I learned about sacrifice from my mom and my dad. I learned about sacrifice where my dad gave up opportunity after opportunity to make more money. All he had to do is leave the church and quit preaching. I watched my mom do it because my dad was preaching. We didn't have a whole lot of money, and I watched her on a number of occasions make dessert for the family and not eat any herself. And it wasn't because she was on a diet. I've seen sacrificial parenting, and I've seen sacrificial Christians, people who give beyond their means, people who will take time out of their schedule to help someone else or to be here at the building. Today's world, men, we are more concerned about our leisure time and about making sure we get to the game on time than we are about taking the punch and serving others. My favorite gift for Father's Day is a short sermon. And so I made this one a short one. That, and I know all you men out there are wanting to get to the restaurant before the other churches let out. So I'm making this happen today. But I'm making this happen. But I've got one more verse I want you to see, men, before we close this out. Deuteronomy chapter 20, 3 and 4. He shall say, "Hear, O Israel, today you're going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to the panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against the enemies to give you victory." What's going on in the world today is overwhelming. What's going on in families today is overwhelming. What's going on culturally is overwhelming. But we do not need to panic, and we do not need to be afraid, and we do not need to be fearful, because it is the Lord that is going before us. And we as men, if we will stand in the gap and fight for our sons and our daughters and our wives and our children and our homes, God will go before us. Each Lord's Day, we sing an invitation song. We sing that invitation song because we want you to respond to the Lord's invitation in some way. This isn't about somebody that has done something really bad and they need to come forward and tell everybody about it so that we can pray for them. This isn't about one person or four or five people. This is about every person in this room. Every person in this room has an opportunity as we sing this song to examine their heart, to see if they are where they need to be spiritually, to see if they're walking with the Lord the way they should be walking the Lord, to see if they're fighting for the right causes or just fighting. The invitation is not about people coming forward. It's about all of us deciding what we need to do today in order to go out and fight the battle before us. We also encourage those who have sinned publicly and need to express repentance. We give them an opportunity to do that. We also, if you're here today and you're hurting in some way, and you need the prayers of others, whether it's a spiritual, an emotional, a physical thing that's going on, and you want prayers, you can come forward publicly as well, and the church will surround you with prayers and with love. And lastly, but most importantly, if you've never decided to join the battle and become a man or woman of God, we had to take some of the water out of the baptistry today because the toilets quit working. Water's gone. I don't know what happened. Joel did something, I'm sure. But the baptistry is still ready. And if you decide this morning that you're ready to make a change in your life and be a man of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, we've got everything ready. All you have to do is come forward, confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that you want to live in this new life for the forgiveness of your sins. Whatever your need, will you come as we stand and sing?